If you don't know what you are smoking, don't smoke it.
You were literally talking about the final resting place for some of the greatest heroes in American military history.
This is a very strange river, to say the least.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says it's not safe to vape. Members of Congress from the Empire State don't want funding diverted to the border wall. And we'll head out on the Deerfield River, where trout are being radio tagged. Well, Governor Andrew Cuomo and the State Health Department are continuing to urge New Yorkers to refrain from using any vaping products for marijuana or nicotine, while an investigation continues into the cause of a mysterious lung ailment related to vaping that has now sickened 41 New Yorkers. Capitol correspondent Karen DeWitt reports.
The governor is making the recommendation after reports of around 500 cases of the disease nationwide and 5 deaths. It appears to be related to vaping black market cannabis products with THC that also contain vitamin E oil, which is harmful when inhaled. But no one knows for sure, and Cuomo, speaking in New York City Monday, is urging caution.
This is a frightening public health phenomenon. It's an activity that many young people engage in. And common sense says, if you don't know what you are smoking, don't smoke it. And right now, we don't know what you're smoking in a lot of these vaping substances, etc.
State Health Commissioner Dr. Howard Zucker is also asking patients in the state's medical marijuana program to consult with their health care providers and ask them whether they can use alternatives to vaping products while the investigation continues. Dr. Zucker says the department is looking into possible causes of the illness and is examining 13 samples from New Yorkers who have developed the disease. He says in all of the cases, vitamin E oil was present. The department will issue subpoenas to 3 companies who manufacture the filler substances that are used in the THC vaping products. All of the state's vaping retail stores will now be required to post a warning sign on shop windows. And Zucker says if you have vaped recently and have any of these symptoms, you should seek medical attention.
If you have shortness of breath, fatigue, nausea, vomiting, chest pain, cough, any of those symptoms, headache, you really should see your doctor if you are using a vaping product.
But representatives of the vaping industry in New York say the state's warning is going too far. Spike Babayan is on the board of the New York State Vapor Association and an owner of 4 electronic cigarette stores in New York City. She says the majority of people who vape nicotine products are trying to avoid combustible cigarettes, which they believe are more harmful to their health. She says telling them to stop vaping is irresponsible.
For probably the majority of people who use e-cigarettes with nicotine, they're not using them as a fun device. They're using them as an option instead of smoking cigarettes. And most of them, if not using an e-cigarette, will return to smoking. And we know what that results in.
E-cigarettes don't contain tobacco, but they do contain some of the same chemicals in regular cigarettes that have been found to be harmful, including formaldehyde. E-cigarettes are relatively new, so there are no long-term studies showing whether vaping is less harmful than smoking. The Centers for Disease Control is also recommending that people avoid all vaping products for now, but the Federal Food and Drug Administration says that people should only avoid vaping the cannabis THC products. Babayan, with the vaping industry group, says the state's warning should be more like the FDA's.
Don't use street-bought marijuana THC cartridges, because they're not tested. Buy them from a legal source, get a medical card, buy them in a dispensary. New York is a legal state if you have a medical card. So you get a medical card if you have a condition that requires it. And if you don't have a condition that requires it, why are you using an illegal product that puts your life at risk?
Health Commissioner Zucker says for now, he's urging the broader ban and wants to err on the side of caution until more is known. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
3 members of Congress from New York are urging leaders of the Senate and House Armed Services Committees to prevent President Trump from redirecting funding for military projects to a wall at the southern border. WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Allison Dunn has that one.
A letter to the chair and ranking member of each Armed Services Committee is signed by U.S. Senators Kirsten Gillibrand and Charles Schumer and Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, all Democrats. They say the Pentagon's decision to divert $3.6 billion allocated for 127 military construction projects includes $160 million for projects at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point in Maloney's 18th District.
In our area, we're talking about the cemetery at West Point. You were literally talking about the final resting place for some of the greatest heroes in American military history. They are right now trying to expand and improve that hallowed ground. That is what is going to take a hit. So the president can go around Congress, go around the Constitution, and fund this vanity project of his. We're talking about the engineering center at West Point. We're talking about the water treatment plant at West Point. We're talking about the facilities that support these cadets that are the next generation of military leaders. That's the military's priority, by the way. You know how I know? Because that's what they wanted in the budget, not the wall.
Democratic Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan, a West Point graduate, talks more about one of the cuts.
One of the cuts of the $160 million being cut from West Point is a cybersecurity and engineering research center. We all agree if we're going to position our military for the future threats and challenges we face, cybersecurity and engineering are at the top of that. That's just absolutely wrong.
In his September 3rd memo to Armed Forces Committee leaders, Defense Secretary Mark Esper says the Department of Defense will reprogram $3.6 billion in funds appropriated for military construction and maintenance to 11 military construction projects along the U.S. border with Mexico. Senator Schumer.
Taking money away from construction at West Point made no sense. It was a slap in the face of all of those who work hard at West Point and the whole military.
Esper says reprogramming the funding is in response to President Trump's February 15th proclamation of a national emergency at the southern border that requires the use of the armed forces. Schumer takes issue with what constitutes an emergency.
This was not the emergency that Congress intended when they passed this law. I think it's in the 70s. It was a true emergency, war, people at risk, etc. And you wouldn't want to go through Congress to rearrange money if you needed it immediately. So I believe there's a good chance it will be beaten in court. We are also trying to pass legislation in the upcoming budget, which would constrict the president's ability to put any of this money into the wall.
He believes there will be new court cases regarding those negatively impacted by the funding move. Maloney says funds for the West Point projects were already appropriated.
The trick is whether they've been obligated or whether they're in the pipeline. So the exact list is hard to know, but previously the Secretary of the Army and has listed these items that I'm mentioning. So don't take my word for it. The Secretary of the Army has said this is what's on the chopping block, and God knows what else, frankly, because you're talking about $3.6 billion. Last time I checked, the largest construction project in the Army is right here at West Point. Number one. And so if you're looking for military construction dollars, that's where you're going to go. And that's why those projects I mentioned, the cemetery, the engineering center, the waste treatment plant over at West Point, are all going to pay the price for this move the president's pulling.
Reporting from WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau on the campus of Vassar College, I'm Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Allison Dunn.
And a local conservation group is teaming up with federal scientists to learn more about the effects of industrial water flow manipulations on the fish of western Massachusetts. WAMC's Berkshire Bureau Chief Josh Landes reports.
On the banks of the Deerfield River in Roe, Massachusetts, a group of scientists are crowded around a basin filled with water and bookended by a pair of metal plates attached to a machine. In that basin lies a fish about to receive a shock. Well, the first in a series of shocks.
There's some discussion and debate in the scientific community as to whether they're in fact anesthetized and whether they're conscious while this is happening or not. They call it electroanesthesia. So it's a form of non-chemical anesthesia that allows us to do a surgery on the fish without having the fish react the way it normally would to getting a knife stuck in its gut.
When the trout comes to, it will be part of something much larger than itself. Ted Castro-Santos is a research ecologist with the U.S. Geological Survey's Silvio Conti Anadromous Fish Research Center. His team and their mobile fish surgery unit is working on taking the wild trout of the Deerfield River and turning them into living transponders. offering an unprecedented look into life among the fish of western Massachusetts.
We're going to take a scalpel. I should have spoken a little more carefully, right? So this is a surgical instrument, but the fish doesn't care. But in any case, we're going to use that to make an incision into the abdominal wall. We will then use this curved needle here, which is just a modified hypodermic needle, large gauge, that we then pierce the body cavity near that incision with that needle, and then it comes up through the opening in the incision. We then take this radio, so this is a radio transmitter here, and the antenna will go through that needle, will pull that antenna back out through that hole that we use to pierce the body cavity. This goes down into the incision, and then we suture that incision back up so the tag is now inside the fish.
The undertaking is part of a public and private collaboration.
We already know that there are a large number of wild trout in this section of the area, and that they are spawning and that they are repopulating in the main stem of the Deerfield. However, we believe it could be significantly better if we get better, higher flows in the wintertime.
Kevin Parsons is the past president and current board member of the Deerfield River Watershed Chapter of Trout Unlimited.
Trout Unlimited is one of the largest conservation organizations in the United States, and our chapter's mission is for the Deerfield River Watershed, which includes the Deerfield River and all of the tributaries in western Massachusetts. So it's a pretty big area. The mission of TU is to enhance and promote and protect cold water fisheries for the benefit of wild trout and salmon.
The reason the flow of the Deerfield is in question is simple. It's been monetized.
This is a very strange river, to say the least. This is a river, is a big working river, hydroelectric facilities up and down the river. There's 10 different dams, a number of different impoundments, and daily fluctuations of flow, dramatic changes in flow from a minimum flow of 125 CFS all the way up to 900 to 1,000 CFS. And that happens almost daily.
That's cubic feet per second. When companies impound water in dams on the Deerfield, it's essentially liquid money that they can convert into power for the grid when needed.
So these fish are in a constant battle of dealing with up and down flows. And so that's part of the problem that's going on and that we're investigating with the United States USGS Silvio Conti Center and Mass Fish and Wildlife to assess what's going on with these fish as these hydropeaking flows are happening, and particularly the effects on their spawning, which happens in October.
Parsons says the group has already found that when the fish spawn during a high flow, the resultant eggs are then vulnerable to the elements when the water returns to a low flow. So now, as the state and federal government relicense hydroelectric companies, TU and the government scientists are hoping the experiment will establish what's at stake for the fish. While the river is partially stocked, its native population is making a comeback. And alongside conservationists and scientists, local river guides like Chris Jackson are banking on that return.
It's a beautiful, majestic river out here in the Berkshires, and it's a source of recreation, not just fly fishing, but people inner tube, there's rafting companies on the river, so this is really kind of a big deal out here in the Berkshires in terms of recreation.
He's one of at least a dozen guides working on the Deerfield, and says thousands of visitors come to fish in the area each season.
We're actually trying to quantify what's here in the river, and ultimately we would like to see changes made that kind of enhance the fishery. And recreation is a big driver of the local economy, and our hopes is that we improve this fishery, that it'll kind of dovetail into improving the local economy.
TU eventually wants to see the study expand beyond brown trout to rainbow and brook trout as well. For now, the fish must be tagged, and the stories of their lives must be told through little radio blips up and down the Deerfield. It has attracted enthusiasts from across the region to come out and volunteer their time. TU Chapter Secretary Mike Vito.
These are people from over. Some people want to just come out and do it a couple of times from the Boston area. This has really captured a lot of people's imagination. This is where fly fishing is really where science meets the sport. It's all about conservation for us, because we know that, and you know, we love fishing the way we do, and we can make it better.
Reporting from the WAMC News Berkshire Bureau at the Beacon Cinema, I'm Josh Landes.
And that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Remember to stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.